This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. I had this summer.
Free Talk Live. Sorry.
And you can join us, 603-283-6160. If you want to do that, that's 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
Bonnie.
And I've never actually looked into or thought about whether or not muting it on the boards doesn't keep it from going out to stream. It's a really quick check. I just haven't ever actually done it now that I think about it. But anyway, there was some audio stuff going on in the break there, because we are now being joined, nothing bad, but we are now being joined by Mark Edge, coming from somewhere on planet Earth. I don't know where, and I don't try to keep track anymore.
You may not
anymore.
Be on planet Earth.
That's true. So, Mark, what's on your mind tonight? Where you been, man? I thought you were dead for a while there. You're like,
I was traveling around. I took a family trip, and we were on a cruise to Antarctica.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, it's hard to get messages and things down there.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. So basically,
what about
you
a carrier
guys
penguin?
Worried. What's that about penguin?
How about a carrier penguin?
A carrier penguin. Oh, I see. Yeah. Having carry messages
right.
for
yeah.
you.
Got very it. Good.
They can waddle them for you because they can't fly.
No, but they can swim.
They are fast swimmers. I saw some what they call porpoising through the water. It's amazing.
Wow.
So you have seen porpoising penguins. That
porpoising penguins, yes.
That sounds like the name to a Primus song. I'm not going to lie. So anyway, we've been talking about wokeness here, and I didn't expect Ricky from Pennsylvania to bring up the issue, but I had some show prep about it that I really wanted to get to. Mark, and it seems like you would be fun to have on with this particular subject.
Right, I'm about as unwoke as they get.
I don't think that's
Free Talk Live's token conservative.
Maybe to an extent. I don't know if I would really agree with that statement.
I call Mark a conservative all the time.
He's definitely more conservative than, as to my knowledge, anyone else on Free Talk Live, except perhaps Conan, who these days isn't on Free Talk Live. So maybe Mark is. So anyway, getting right into it then, Republicans use wokeism to attack the left but struggle to define it. And this is why I wanted Ricky to define it, because I don't think he could have. Well, he certainly didn't. He kept telling us what groups Republicans consider to be woke, but that doesn't tell us what woke even means. Governor Ron DeSantis, a likely 2024 presidential candidate, used his January inaugural address to warn of the woke mob and its woke ideology. Maybe it's one of those things where it's like pornography to the Supreme Court. Like, we struggle to define it, but we know it when we see it.
Well, I think that if it's been put out there, so I'm going to give it a shot at defining it. Wokeism is the attempt, the overcompensation of attempting to make all groups equal, and the result is that certain groups are unequal. The groups that are considered the most downtrodden end up being the top groups for benefits.
I think I would probably agree with that definition of it. It's sort of an inversion of power, where the weaker you are perceived to be, or the more oppressed you are perceived to be in actuality because of how we've inverted everything, the more powerful you are politically.
I think that that's more of a result of wokeism than really a definition. My definition would be becoming awakened to the way that things really are, but in my mind, most of them don't really see things as they really are. But what they think things really are is that there's like this structure of power called white people, not, you know, the government or the court systems. No, they're not woke to that. They're woke to white people, on average, do better at X, Y, and Z, so therefore white people are holding us down, and they think that they're awakened to that information, and they need to spread this to people, and then it causes things like what you guys were defining.
So Representative Jim Banks, chairman of the House Armed Services Subcommittee on Military Personnel, boy, he must feel important with a title like that, recently released a statement blaming the military's recruitment challenges on, quote, the left's culture wars and a, quote, woke agenda. It has nothing to do with the price of used cars and the fact that they can't afford a Camaro right now. There are economic...
Hold on. What does the military have to do with Camaros?
That's what 18-year-olds do. Almost every 18-year-old I knew who left high school and joined the military used that $5,000 signing bonus to buy a sports car.
Or like a Dodge, whatever they're called. Yeah. I hate those Dodge cars. They're so ugly.
And I just thought that was a weird Challenger thing.
Yeah, those.
I just thought that was a weird thing that, you know, people in Mississippi did, but now it's considered a meme, right? That's what people do. They join the military and they buy a Camaro. So,
I haven't heard that, and it seems like an unwise choice.
Yes.
Especially if you're going away for many weeks to some kind of basic training and could be shipped off to the, you know, farthest reaches of the globe, why in the world would you buy a car that's going to sit at mom's house?
Why the hell would you sign up to go across the globe and possibly die?
I'd say usually they don't buy the car until after AIT and they're in a base, whether it's in, like, Korea or America, for at least their 3 years. And then these are usually the people that sign, like, a 5 or less year contract. These are the people that buy Dodge Challengers with their military money.
Yes, well,
I don't know, you know, what they do or what they don't.
But 18-year-olds are not known for their wise decisions.
No, they're not. But I did meet a young man who was joining the military, and I listened to his reasoning. I was working with him. He worked out at my farm there in New Hampshire, and he was waiting to go off to the military, and I listened to him talk about it. You know, I wanted to do more listening than talking on it, and I would say he was making a good choice. He was waiting. He wanted to be a meteorologist, and he felt like he could get better education in the military on this than college, and he could certainly do it for less money. Makes sense. And apparently, if you pick an occupational specialty in the military and you stick to it, you say, I'm only settling for this one, then they will, I guess, I mean, I'm only listening to this young man and his what he said. They will let you pick that one, and then you'll wait until there's an opening for training or whatever the situation is, and then off you go. And, you know, if you pick meteorologist, the chances of you getting shot are low.
Yeah, I don't know to what extent any of that is true. I know, you know, when I was struggling as an 18-year-old, 19-year-old to figure out what I want to do, I considered the possibility of joining the armed forces, and I wanted to enter the nuclear research program for the U.S. Navy. And
Navy nukes are the smartest ones, right?
Well, I guess so. But
they have to have the highest ASVAB.
Yeah, which that wasn't a big deal. The problem was they wouldn't guarantee me that there was an additional test you had to take once you were in the Navy. Mm-hmm. And you had to be qualified after that to join, and I wasn't willing. And then they had to approve you, right? You didn't just have to take the test. They had to then also approve you and say, yes, you know, you're smart enough, and we like you, and we want to get you into the nuclear program. They want you to sign on the dotted line so that you can be scrubbing decks in the Pacific if you fail any of these other programs, and I wasn't willing to do that.
So you have to, like, basically join before you even get the test and get approved?
Yes.
So you get some other job if you don't get that?
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I wasn't... Well, I mean,
that's a nice counterpoint, because I wouldn't be able to say which jobs you can hold out for and which ones you can't, but, you know, clearly your claim is that it doesn't work on every one of them.
Well, I suspect the nuclear research program does have a higher bar of entry than meteorology, right?
Yeah, sure.
Because it's a bit more, I don't know that it's necessarily more complicated, but to the layperson and probably to the non-meteorologist, nuclear research seems more complicated than meteorology.
I knew a girl that was just in the Air Force, and she wanted to be some certain thing I don't even remember, and she told me about how they made her, like, gave her a runaround for, like, 3 years, telling her, like, you're going to get put into that, and she just never did. That's why she ended up quitting. But I don't know, the military is, like, famous for lying to people. For all we know, that meteorologist boy was like, yeah, this is what they told me, and then they're going to do something like what you were just describing to him, and it never became a meteorologist. I don't know.
Yeah, my father was a horrible, horrible human being, but one of the best things he ever did, because we had to take the ASVAB in high school, right? We just had to. It was required, and I did really good on it. So military recruiters started contacting me immediately when I was still in 16, and this was right after the invasion of Iraq, I think. And my father is...
Which one?
Yeah, right.
It's like three.
Well, it wasn't the one in the 90s, I can tell you that. But my father insisted on being there whenever these recruiters came to talk to me, and it was because he had been in the military. He was one of these people they had lied to. He wanted to be on a submarine, evidently. And I don't know if he was ever actually in the military or not. There seems to be conflicting evidence about this, where he does seem to have qualified for VA benefits, but he lied about his entire service. So we still don't know, and I don't care enough to look into whether or not he was actually in the military. But according to his claim, he wanted to be in a submarine, and he was perpetually denied that. I can't imagine why anyone would want to be in this claustrophobic submarine, but whatever, man. That's what you want. So anyway, he insisted on being there anytime any of these recruiters met with me or wanted to talk to me. And he stonewalled them routinely, and he was very skeptical of them, and he caused me to be distrustful of them, which was great, because these aren't your upstanding salesmen who actually stands by their product, right? They don't have to stand by their product. They're government salesmen.
Right.
And they're these slick. We have this mentality.
They're not going to get in trouble for lying to someone to get them to join.
No, once you sign on the dotted line, you're there. You're signing over your life to them, and they don't care. They're the slick used car salesmen. Used car salespeople get a bad reputation or whatever. The Army recruiters, the military recruiters, are significantly worse as salespeople than anyone else I've ever interacted with in my entire life. They will lie to you about anything. This dude sat at the table and said, no, there are no reserve units in Afghanistan or Iraq. And it's on the news playing behind us. It was talking about how more reserve units were being sent to Iraq or Afghanistan or wherever, right? It wasn't that literal where, like, literally, dude, I'm watching it say this while you're denying it. It wasn't quite that drastic. But it was common knowledge that there were, in fact, reservists there. And he was like, no, you wouldn't be called to serve. No, that's so unlikely. There aren't any reservists over there. So that's what they do. But back to the subject of... Yeah, something
yeah,
smart.
I would agree that one needs to be very, very, very careful with this, and the consequences are quite low for any duplicity.
Yeah, my dad one time said, would you ever consider joining the Army when you get older to pay for college, or not the Army necessarily, but the military? And I was like, no, never. And he was like, well, never say never. And guess what? Never. Like, I never changed my mind about that. I never took the ASVAB. It wasn't required in my school. I never was remotely interested in that. But I hated exercise until, like, this year or last year.
I didn't think about it because I didn't really understand what the ASVAB was. A friend of mine, one of the smartest kids at our school, intentionally did poorly on the ASVAB so that they wouldn't bother him. And I mean, that's brilliant, right? But
well, the Marines are going to come bother him now. Ha ha ha, just kidding.
We always tried to do really good on standardized tests, and I always did really good on standardized tests. So to me, this was just another one of these stupid tests, and I want to score in the top 1% like I always do, so I'm going to do the best I can. And they gave us a sheet of scratch paper for the math problems, and it was all so simple that I never even touched the scratch paper, sheet of paper that do the calculations on, because there's all this basic arithmetic. And that was me. I didn't see any problem with that. And then, you know, 3 weeks later, here they come knocking on the door and calling me and bothering me at school and stuff, and it becomes an issue. And he's like, oh, yeah, I got a zero on that. I didn't even fill it out. If I did, I put down an answer I knew was wrong. I was like, dude, that was, in hindsight, that was brilliant. Props to that. I would suggest everyone out there in high school being required to take the ASVAB, do poorly on it.
And just think, if you would have signed up when you did your transition, they would have made you a general.
Would they have? Why would they have?
There's apparently one of the Joint Chiefs of Staff or something like that is transitioned.
I didn't know that.
Me either.
Well, I mean, they probably would have kicked me out of the military prior to that because I...
Trump? Oh.
Yeah, Trump prohibited trans people from serving.
Oh, wait, no, not
military.
From serving. It was from going on, like, the front lines of battle. I don't know why.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't...
Well, he should have prevented them from serving.
Would have been better for them.
He should, yeah. Everyone should be... And I get so much, you know, criticism from people on the left when I say this, but yes, absolutely. Donald Trump was the most pro-LGBT president to ever run for office, to ever be president, because he kept trans people out of military service. Like, he literally kept trans people from getting shot at in the Middle East. And to me, that's commendable, dude. I thank you for that. Thank you, Donald Trump, for that action.
Should have banned more people.
He
like
should
women
have. Banned the gay people, too. Ban women. Ban everyone. If you want to have the straight, cis, white Christian males running over there to fight in the Middle East and the wars that they caused, generally speaking, not all, hashtag not all, then I'm fine with it. But, like, I didn't start this war. Don't make me go fight it. And for that matter, even if they, like, what if they had the draft again? What if they reinstituted the draft? I think I'm probably too old now, but what? How would they even handle trans people? Can you transition like Klinger did or attempted to do in the MASH series? And would that be taken more seriously now? I don't know. A lot of questions.
Go ahead, Mark.
I think it would very likely get you a, you know, you'd have to want to go in to, you know, for them to care very much about the whole transitioning thing. But you know, when you're talking about nobody being, you know, on the front lines and these kind of things, the one thing I would say is just because the United States military was done away with, wouldn't get rid of the Chinese or Russian military or any of these others.
Sure.
And I suspect these organizations would probably take advantage of a world where the United States military was just a bunch of plucky reservists.
I don't want them to be, like, unemployed as much as I want, like, first step at least, as much as I want them to just not be in empire, you know, in imperialist bases off in places we have no business being. Just take everybody home and make a defense organization instead of a offense organization.
Which is a good strategy if you have to have a strategy, but there are countries in the world that don't have militaries and that China is not invading. So I don't know how convinced I am that Russia or China or whoever is just sitting there waiting to see a moment of weakness. And the moment we disband our military, maybe they would, because we don't live in a vacuum and there is a long history, like 250 years of the United States causing war and problems for other nations. So maybe they would choose the opportunity to attack us. But if the United States wasn't committing all of these acts of evil that were inviting this retribution, then we wouldn't have to be concerned about the retribution that would happen.
Right. For an example, I would be okay with New Hampshire having very little military power if we seceded and we were just New Hampshire. But that would be because people most likely wouldn't want to take anything the federal government was out on us, I don't think. But if I was still under the name U.S. federal government citizen, I kind of want them to have a military because they're a-holes. Like, our president right now is going and saying things like, Ukraine will never be a victory for Russia. It should be none of his business. The president of the United States should not have an opinion on that.
Absolutely. And other things.
I think that Ukraine has been set up for a long time, and this is just kind of, you know how they say that, you know, your decisions are hardwired into your genetics. It's like this whole Ukraine thing has been hardwired into the NATO system over the last 20 years. I'm not supporting it in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying that, man, it's just sort of inevitable.
Inevitable because of their choices, NATO people's choices.
Like the NATO has made the choices that you'd be like, yep, that's what NATO's going to do. And Russia then made the choices that, like, yep, that's what Russia's going to do. And, like, it just kept going back and forth. You know, the two to tango argument.
I just don't see any reason. It's like, oh, NATO needed to take over Ukraine. They don't care about protecting Ukrainians. They had a shell government there blowing up Ukrainians that lived in the east or whatever of Russia or of Ukraine.
No, and it's not quite fair. I mean, To be the devil's advocate here, if Russia had done nothing and not responded and just ignored NATO, then I do believe it would have been inevitable that NATO would have absorbed Ukraine and would have invaded Russia. And I say this because the United States / NATO, they have a very long history of expansionism and conquering. Like, Russia doesn't have that very long history of expansionism and conquering. The USSR certainly did, but the USSR doesn't exist anymore.
I'd be curious what would happen if what would have happened had Russia applied for membership in NATO. If Russia, which NATO was created to stand against the Soviet Union, which
right.
you know, Russia is basically a synonym. But if that was the case and they were welcomed in, basically adhering to all the rules, not invading member states, things like that, and being part of the international community, then that would just kind of leave China out in the cold and they would be less able to do what it is, whatever they felt like doing.
You also end up with a one-world government, effectively, in that scenario, and that's
I don't know that one-world military means one-world government.
I think it would in this context. It may not directly mean it, but I think it would ultimately lead to it, and relatively quickly, just because there would be no one left on the board who could oppose NATO. And I think that's the role that Russia and China serve more than anything else, is just being a check on the power of NATO in the United States. Because why are we even calling it NATO? NATO's irrelevant. The United States is the only one of these countries that makes a difference. The rest of them could stop existing. They could defund their militaries completely tomorrow, and it would impact the power of NATO by possibly 2%. I mean, when it comes to NATO, we're talking about the United States. And
The U.S. has never attacked a NATO state. And
they have not.
It makes good advice. It means, it's good advice to be part of NATO then, right? Like, everybody should be part of NATO.
They've also never attacked a nuclear power.
Mm.
So that seems like just as valid as an option, right? And that's certainly the path that North Korea and China
I'm not
going to
advocate for that one.
Well, I'm not going to advocate for joining NATO either.
But they have been in proxy wars with Russia and China.
Yes, but not directly, because they're nuclear powers, and they don't want a war with a nuclear power, which at least is a good thing. But back to the subject of wokeism, because that's the matter of hand.
Okay.
Last week, a reporter from the conservative-leaning Newsmax asked White House Press Secretary whoever, is President Biden woke? Now, this is an actual reporter asking the press secretary of the White House if the president is woke. Jean-Pierre demurred, but the blunt query underscored a phenomenon coursing through conservative politics. Republicans have alighted on a strategy of decrying the dangers of wokeism and all things woke.
So they wouldn't answer?
I guess not. It says she demurred. I'm not 100% sure what the exact meaning of demurred is, but I'm assuming it means that she didn't answer.
Basically, she refused to answer in as nice a way as possible.
Right. So they've been decrying the dangers of wokeism and all things woke, which is similar to what they did with critical race theory, right? They just came out madly against critical race theory because Fox News told them to be angry about it. Fox News told them it was bad, and they had to be angry about it, and it was bad, it was racism, it was telling people they were evil for being white. And from what I can tell, having gone no further than reading the Wikipedia article about it, it doesn't seem to be what Fox News said it was.
I think there needs to be a medium from what I've seen about it from Carlin Borischenko. She goes crazy deep into public school, what they're teaching kids. And from what I've seen, it does look like they're telling kids sometimes, like, I don't know every public school, but I've seen examples where they're telling kids, like, if you were white, you owe the black kids, which is crazy.
Wow. 603-283-6160. If you want to define wokeism, give us a call. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up here. It is Free Talk Live.
Big news from Newsmax. AT&T's DirecTV censorship of Newsmax continues. AT&T owns DirecTV, and they continue carrying 22 liberal news channels, but they just canceled Newsmax. With OAN gone, that's two conservative channels AT&T has removed in the past year. Newsmax is the fourth highest-rated cable news channel, with great hosts like Greg Kelly, Chris Salcedo, Rob Schmidt, Mike Huckabee, and more. Now, millions of DirecTV subscribers can't watch them on Newsmax. Rand Paul, Mike Huckabee, and former President Trump urge you to cancel DirecTV and AT&T services. Stand up for free speech. Call AT&T and DirecTV now. Call toll-free 877-NEWSMAX and we'll connect you to DirecTV. If you oppose censorship and support Newsmax, you can also call 877-NEWSMAX. We'll tell you how you can help. Dr. Ben Carson says our freedoms are at stake. He says stand up against AT&T for Newsmax. Call 877-NEWSMAX today.
Thank you. USA News update. The Pentagon is warning China about supplying lethal aid to Russia in its war with Ukraine.
There will certainly be consequences for China should they deepen their relationship with Russia.
Pentagon Press Secretary Sabrina Singh said so far there's no evidence that China is providing lethal aid, but they've also not taken it off the table. Today's big snowstorms across the country are wreaking havoc with air travel. According to FlightAware, more than 1,500 flights have been canceled so far today. Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport is dealing with the worst of it, with other trouble spots in Denver and Detroit. The U.S. could default on its debt as early as June if Congress fails to raise the debt ceiling. That's according to the nonpartisan think tank Bipartisan Policy Center. The U.S. hit its borrowing cap in January. Since then, the Treasury Department has been taking extraordinary measures so the government can pay its bills. And it was 43 years ago today that the miracle on ice took place at the Lake Placid Olympics. John Schaefer, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Always, you're invited to join us, 603-283-6160, if you'd like to do that. That's 603-283-6160. And Mark, fair warning, I have set up the camera switcher to periodically switch to you as well. I'm fixing it right now because it's complicated. I didn't realize that 5 was mapped to something completely different. So hold on, it's technical what I'm doing. However, I'm fixing it, so now the camera is set to correctly rotate to you, so, like, don't pick your nose or anything, because it could randomly... If you know the cycle that they're going in, then obviously, you'll know when it's safe to pick your nose and when it isn't, but as a general rule, you know, you are on camera, and now we've added that to the stream as well, for the sake of the viewers out there who hear a disembodied voice and have no idea who is speaking. I mean, presumably they probably know who's speaking. They probably recognize your voice. But anyway, I want to say thank you to Duster, who makes fine technical skills like that possible. AMPS.freetalklive.com. That's our AMPS program. It's our Patreon. And that's how we support the show. That's how we keep everything running. That's how we keep the lights on here. That's AMPS.freetalklive.com. You can join and show your support for the show. All it takes is $5 per month. That gets you in. AMPS.freetalklive.com, and it's frozen again. That's because I forgot to activate it. So, yeah, I'll actually turn it on this time. So, see, fine technical skills, all brought to you by the AMPS program. Duster, thank you so much. $5 per month, that gets you in. That's amps.freetalklive.com. And you can pay more if you want. If you really love the show, I think there's a tier going all the way up to $50 per month. Actually, I think there's technically no cap on it. So I think in theory you could donate as much as you wanted, but we don't ask that. All we ask is $5 per month. That gets you in. 603-283-6160 if you want to join us. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's Aria. I think I did this.
It's Bonnie.
And we have Mark on the line with us. Mark, are you still with us?
Uh-oh, I wonder if we lost him or if he just went to the bathroom and hasn't come back.
No, he seems to be sitting there, but I didn't hear anything when he spoke just now, so I actually don't know if... Oh, it's because I unmuted the wrong thing. Yeah, I said, fine technical skills over here.
Here I am.
It's hard to do a radio show while doing technical skills. I mean, I don't even know how to do any of that stuff you did, but...
Well,
and that's why everybody should go to the AMP program at amps.freetalklive.com and send money. That way we can have a producer as well as a first chair.
Well, I mean, it worked. It all got done. And it was, if I hadn't made some basic mistakes, none of that would have actually happened. But, I mean, it all got done. And
you're doing
fine.
A show.
Yeah. And
none of the other people doing shows have to do all that work, too.
Well, we also kept the show going. But let's go to the phones because we are a call-in line show. And you can call in, take control of the airways, and talk about whatever you want. We've had Chuck on the line from Washington with us. Chuck, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I've been enjoying the show here. I just wanted to really understand what the whole idea of wokeness is. I'm really struggling with this because I want to believe more. It has a bigger meaning than just a boogeyman that the right wing of American the body of politic has created to for theater purposes. I want to believe it's more than that, but I'm...
You make an interesting question, and I'm not convinced that regardless of which side of the aisle you're on, left or right, I'm not necessarily convinced that wokeness is anything other than theater. Is it anything other than insane virtue signaling from the left or insane virtue signaling on the right? Because the right's version, the right is just as woke. They're woke to the concept of woke, right?
Well, here's the thing. You got to look at, I guess you got to really take a look at who's made more money off the whole idea of wokeism. Is it somebody that's in some liberal that has the access to the levers of your local government, you know, when as far as the parks department or the bus system or whatever it is, the police department, is it that who's making money off the whole idea of wokeism, or is it the people that want to sell stuff like T-shirts and things
I think
on the right wing?
Probably the right. I thought you were going to say, okay. Yeah, I think it's probably the right, which might be what you were getting at, because it's like they come up with lots of shows and content based just on, the Little Mermaid princess was black. This mermaid can't possibly be black, even though it can't possibly exist.
I love it. It's just like these people are capitalists. They're making money off of just stuff that doesn't exist. And
well, I think it does exist.
Give them a trophy. Huh?
No, I think it does exist. I mean, there's...
I know.
Many...
I know you believe it, but I don't believe.
Okay, well, let me give you some examples, and maybe you can see my point of view, or maybe I'm wrong. One of those two is possible, right?
Actually, I don't think you might be wrong. It's just you'll never be able to convince a rattlesnake it's a giraffe. You know what I mean? So
I don't know what that means. However, Mark, what are your examples?
Well, I think that there are people, so wokeism in, from the left point of view is basically, what they used to call, the name is slipping my mind, but, this idea of taking people who are culturally disadvantaged for whatever reason, affirmative action, and promoting them for the sake of who they were. You know,
right.
For the color of their skin, for the gender that they were born, for the gender that they wish to be, for, you know, whatever the reason that this is. These are terrible reasons to pick somebody for a job. Now, Ari, I saw you have a big smile, and it's worth pointing out that you're a trans woman, right?
Yes.
And
okay,
I support
you. So what
you.
You're saying is, what you're basically saying here, sir, is wokeism is saying affirmative action. That's it's a different, it's a new way to sell books and T-shirts that the right has invented. They want to say affirmative action, but you know, let's call it wokeism. Is that what you're pretty much saying that, right?
I think that it's affirmative action for a new millennium. It includes a much larger sect of people, and I do agree that the right does benefit off of it. But let's talk about all those people that have jobs that would not otherwise have them. They're maybe less qualified than somebody who would have had that job in
sure,
the absence
people
of
people that are making these retarded T-shirts that are talking about wokeism. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you, Chuck. You know,
he was ready to have a conversation.
It's certainly true that, you know, the money is being made on the right in regard to the issue of wokeness, right?
I don't agree with that necessarily. I think it's being made on both sides.
I'm not convinced that money's being made on the left. However, the power...
That's a paycheck.
It's being made at least a little bit because, you know, there's also, like, people like Nina Turner, who is, like, a congressperson or something like that, or if not just, like, a political talking head in New York, and people like her that come out with the same kind of content, but just the other side, they both make money. It's just that I think that the right wing probably does it the most because, like, eventually people are going to get tired of hearing about it from the left. I don't know. It doesn't seem like they have a big outrage machine like the right does. But if what Mark's saying, I could kind of see what Mark's saying. It's just that I don't really know how much that is true and how much that's, you know, just something people say that blank is because of that blank person got a job because of affirmative action. How am I supposed to know? I can see that they literally, there is proof that there are quotas for different races to get into colleges, but I don't even know that that gets you a job.
Well, I can tell you if you get into Harvard that it gets you a job.
Well, no one is going to be so blunt in their... And there are things, right? Like if a disabled person, a person who can't walk, comes to me for a job at, you know, the restaurant that I help manage, I'm not going to hire this person because they're not capable of doing the job that is required of them. However, under absolutely no circumstances, if such a thing happened, would I ever admit to such a reality. I would come up with any other reason. Oh, well, her schedule availability doesn't mesh with what we need at this time, or just whatever reason, any reason other than the real one. And I feel like that's sort of disingenuous, but that's not my fault, right? That's not anyone's fault. It's simply true.
I mean, it'd be bad if she totally could do the job, but you just didn't want to deal with it or something. But it wouldn't be bad if they couldn't do the job.
And I think the number of people who would, this is why I think affirmative action is ultimately unnecessary. I think the number of people who would say, no, we don't want to hire you because you're disabled, even though you can do the job, is extraordinarily low, not worth considering, and certainly not having worth legislation to counter. When it leads to things that are opposite, which is where the disabled person gets the job, even if they're not qualified, even if they can't do the job because you're so terrified of getting that lawsuit. I've been on the other end of this as well with a trans employee that everyone there hated and wanted gone. There are several trans and LGBT people at this place that I work. Several. Way disproportionate to the average population anywhere. It's weird.
Maybe they just, like, have seen you working there.
So it's obvious that they don't hate trans people, but if they fired this person, they're terrified of the consequences.
Yes.
And you know what that is? That's what wokeism is. And that person is on the receiving end. It is. This is what I call it.
I don't think that's what wokeism is, though, right? Wokeism would be the idea that, oh, this person, even though everyone hates them and they suck at their job, this person deserves the job because being trans has just made their life so difficult.
That's why they would win a lawsuit, and that's why your bosses are scared, is because somebody believes that they deserve that job. It's obvious that your bosses are not transphobic. They've hired multiple trans people. But if they fired this moron that doesn't do their job, I don't know them.
That's an accurate characterization.
I mean, I have no idea.
Luckily, the problem solved itself. You're welcome, everyone there, by the way.
Yep.
Just made it uncomfortable until they left or something?
It's complicated. But sort of, and I'm the only person who can do that when it comes to trans issues, right? If there's a, I'm like the guard dog for trans people. If you're an obnoxious trans person, you don't get to pull that crap around me because I'm the only person probably in that vicinity who can call you out on that garbage. I'm the one who can say, hey, look, yeah, you can't just tell customers on the phone to not misgender you like that. Like, you literally can't do that. Whoa. And if you do it again, you're going home. Right.
It's on the phone. How can you get mad at somebody if they just can't tell? I mean,
because you have nothing better to do.
That's exactly it. These people getting upset about whether or not someone calls you he or her or whatever is something you can only do if you have absolutely no real problems to deal with. Just like this stupid Harry Potter video game, you only have the energy and the time to get upset about what video game people are playing in their spare time if you have no real problems that you need to deal with. If you have a real problem, then you're going to be like, man, screw that video game. That's inconsequential. Except whether or not you want to play it. If you have the spare time, because I bought it and I played it and it was all right. I mean, it wasn't great. But I've had trans people unfriend me.
For playing it?
For playing it. And because I made a point of playing it, like, and telling people, look, don't let other people tell you what you can and can't enjoy. We're not talking about Angry Goy 2 here, which is a game designed by Nazis to espouse the ideas of white supremacy and to praise the ideas of white supremacy. That's Hogwarts Legacy isn't all about killing trans people or anything like that. One person remarked, yeah, I've been playing for 10 hours and I haven't gotten to kill a trans character yet, right? They're treating it. Yeah, it was a great joke. I loved it. That's how they're treating this video game, like you're literally killing trans people if you play this video game.
And it was all just because of the author?
Yeah.
Lady?
Well, because she created the world and she gets some amount of royalties from selling the game or whatever. And
sure.
Look, I'm with you. I don't want to support this lady any more than, you know, I have to. There's a reason that despite building my physical library, I have not repurchased any of the Harry Potter books, even from a used bookstore. And it's because I don't want to give her any money. There's a reason I haven't watched any of the Harry Potter movies on HBO. If I wanted to watch them, not these days, not for the last 2 years, I would have torrented them. Not, again, for the last 2 years, and I don't support torrenting any longer. However, in those days, I would have. And it's because I don't want to give more money to her than I feel, you know, I have to. However, in the case of this video game, you're not going to get away with pirating it, especially this early. It's going to be 6 months to a year before they even have a, quote, crack release of it. But even then, right, okay, you're giving this lady a few pennies, right? Those 5 cents that she's going to get from the royalties of selling this one copy of the video game are not going to result in the death of the transfer. And the conversation gets so insane. There was not long after Hogwarts was released, Hogwarts Legacy, the video game, was released, some trans person in the United Kingdom was stabbed. And that's tragic. That's horrible, right? We all condemn that. But the media immediately took that, and anytime you talked about Hogwarts, the video game, people were like, okay, but what about this trans person who was just stabbed in the United Kingdom? This is the kind of hate that's happening as a result of this game. And like, there's absolutely no evidence that this person was stabbed because she was trans. She was a trans
person. Certainly not because of the video game.
Yeah, certainly not. But she was a trans person who was stabbed. That doesn't mean she was stabbed because she was trans, right? Like, if I drive home tonight and I wreck my car, I didn't wreck my car because I'm trans. I had a wreck and I happened to be trans. Or because of COVID or whatever, right? You can't. And there was never, maybe there's evidence now, but there certainly wasn't any evidence then to support this idea. But the conversation became so insane that you couldn't talk about this choice to play a video game without someone else mentioning someone else who had been stabbed in the real world.
You can't even question whether or not the person was stabbed without being for the reasons that are proffered, without being transphobic.
Right.
And that is the trick. Like, everybody who disagrees with me is literally Hitler. And, you know, you hate everybody I say because of the things I've said. And I find that far less on the right than I do on the shrill left that I, you know, run into in a variety of different places.
Man, it's hard. It's hard to say who benefits the most from wokeism talk, I think I'm still on team it's the right that makes the most money, but who just talks woke the most? It's really hard because, yeah, the stuff that you're talking about absolutely exists. Left-wingers saying, oh, what's her name? Not J.R. Tolkien. What's her name?
J.R. Rowling. Yeah.
Rowling. Well, people who say, J.K. Rowling's literally killing people with her talk. That's a wokeism thing on the left. But there's also serious amounts of people who think it's an interesting conversation to freak out about the M&M's woman bag
or
for hours.
Or Drag Queen Story Hour.
Yeah, stuff like that. I mean, that really happens every day, too. So it's really hard to say who just is the more woke in their own personality.
I've got a news story here that I wanted to get into at some point about how drag story hours have been around for years, but now people are, like, literally shooting through the windows of some of these bars that host drag shows, and some of them drag kid-friendly drag story hours. And, you know, we...
A bar that has kid-friendly drag
story
hours?
This particular one isn't... Well, Mark, I didn't read the article here on the air.
Sorry.
I was trying to give a brief overview of it, but
I think usually the story hours are at, like, libraries and schools and stuff, but I don't know.
I don't know exactly where this one was at, but, I mean, the article is about drag story hours, but sure enough here it's got a bullet hole in a window that someone put through it. And evidently, yes, it is at the bar, and evidently, yes, they do have drag queen story hours there. I don't know, man. Maybe it's legal to have minors in your bar there.
I don't know. In New Hampshire.
Is it?
Yep, it's legal to have your kids at the bar.
Which is fine, right? But
it's not fine to do it.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. But you're absolutely right. There's insanity on both sides of the aisle here, where you do have people on the left who say, anything I don't like is literally Hitler. That certainly exists. Those people definitely exist. To the extent where me saying, hey, look, play whatever video game you like. Don't let people judge you. And if someone wants to ruin your friendship because you play a video game that they don't like, then that person is not really your friend anyway. I become Hitler for that, for that simple, obvious statement, right? But you do also have people on the right who say, oh, these drag queens are out there grooming kids. We got to stop them. We got to execute the drag queens. And some of them don't go that far, but some of them do.
What's crazy about it is...
Well, I think there's a lot of talk about grooming amongst the left, and I'm curious.
You mean right?
Yeah, on the right, excuse me.
Okay.
There's a lot of talk of grooming on the right, and a lot of it, as much as there is of the, you know, the shrill whining on the left. But
well, to me, it's two sides of the same coin, right? It's just wokeism on both sides. Each side's like, oh, we're awakened to these issues that exist, and you're not.
I would say that the left is more open to the notion of people having sex younger than the right is, and that therefore the grooming conversation might have some credence. I'm not saying that it is, you know, it always sounds weird to me.
What I was going to say is actually what's annoying about the right wingers freaking out about drag queen story hours, they're trying to, you know, be predators towards children, is it takes away what some stuff that's actually going on, stuff that I wouldn't have ever known about without Carolyn Boroshenko. She's a YouTuber, and she gets into school teachers, like, private Zoom calls somehow. She's, like, a top-level, like, detective with this stuff. And these people are doing such freakier stuff with kids than just your drag queen who wants to, you know, do a drag show and make it kid-friendly is doing. These people are doing stuff like giving kids in public schools tests called social-emotional learning tests, and they'll ask them stuff like, have you lost your virginity yet, blah, 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 and do not tell the parents. And they'll call them into the principal's office afterwards to ask them to make sure they're safe. They're just making sure the kids are safe after this. I mean, this stuff is really happening, and the right...
Well, I'm sort of okay with this in theory, right? I think it's probably good on some level in some way to have a second grade teacher asking kids, hey, has anyone ever touched you in a bad place?
I don't think so. Social workers are just like some of the most effed up people, like to be doing things without any permission from the parents. I mean, those people are the ones who will take away. But you don't know that they're actually touching anyone. That's another due process situation. I mean, if a government employee is asking your kids, has anyone ever touched you inappropriate? The kids kid might just say yes because they're a kid. It's just freaky.
No doubt.
That's why
Bonnie, I think that this is another one of those situations where the root problem is the government school.
That's right? What I was going to say. I was going to say the second thing that they're ignoring is just the fact that they're above government schools. It's like when they talk about drag queen story hours going on in our schools, it's like you can put your kid in a school that doesn't have drag queens reading books, and the other people can put their kids in schools that do have drag queens reading books if you focus on the real problem, which is we're all being stolen from to pay for the same schools that suck.
Yeah, and to clarify, I'm not okay with the public school system, and there was a reason I hedged my wording so much when saying, on some level, I think it's probably a good thing in some ways to have teachers doing this, right? I mean, certainly the scenario where teachers are acting as social workers and there's no accountability, there's no checks and balances, there's no due process, certainly that is not a good system, right? So what also isn't a good system, and we're still struggling here to define what woke is, but I think we're all on the same page here that woke means different things to the left than it does to people on the right. And that's probably an obvious statement, but it may not be obvious to everyone. The people on the left may have never considered the reality that when the Republican calls them woke, the Republican doesn't actually understand what the Democrat even believes. And when the Republican uses the word woke, the Democrat doesn't understand what the Republican actually believes, because neither one is listening to the other. They're too busy hurling insults and allegations at one another, calling one another Nazis, and explaining to one another why they deserve to die and to be oppressed and to thrown in prison for their beliefs and for whatever godforsaken thing they're doing to the other person's kids.
It's I don't think it fits the word Hegelian dialectic, does it, right? But it's a perfect mind control technique. Like, neither one can have a conversation because the words they're using are defined differently by their leaders, quote unquote, on each side.
Yes.
Yep. And absolutely. And when you're focused on, whether or not Free Talk Live has a trans host with bright red hair, then you're not focused on what Joe Biden is doing with your tax money in Ukraine.
Yeah, I would rather people focus on something else, but they always do that. It happens a lot in the video chats, not so much these days because I've been here for like 4-something years now, but especially in the earlier days, there would be people who would come in and they would just make that their issue and they would focus on it. And of course, I tend to ignore it. And in a lot of cases, it won these people over. They wanted, some of them even said, I wanted to hate you, but you handled this well enough where I don't see any reason to hate you. Because they expect you to be one of these screaming stereotypes that's going to kick over displays at GameStop or whatever. And when you're not that, when you're an actual real person, they don't know how to react to it. And then they realize that they are having to react to a real person. And it sucks. It hurts to hate another person. And they struggle to do that, I think. And that's why we have to humanize ourselves against all of this dehumanization. 603-283-6160. It is Free Talk Live.
Big news from Newsmax. AT&T's DirecTV censorship of Newsmax continues. AT&T owns DirecTV, and they continue carrying 22 liberal news channels, but they just canceled Newsmax. With OAN gone, that's two conservative channels AT&T has removed in the past year. Newsmax is the fourth highest-rated cable news channel, with great hosts like Greg Kelly, Chris Salcedo, Rob Schmidt, Mike Huckabee, and more. Now, millions of DirecTV subscribers can't watch them on Newsmax. Rand Paul, Mike Huckabee, and former President Trump urge you to cancel DirecTV and AT&T services. Stand up for free speech. Call AT&T and DirecTV now. Call toll-free 877-NEWSMAX and we'll connect you to DirecTV. If you oppose censorship and support Newsmax, you can also call 877-NEWSMAX. We'll tell you how you can help. Dr. Ben Carson says our freedoms are at stake. He says stand up against AT&T for Newsmax. Call 877-NEWSMAX today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.